chapter number 18 of the book of Matthew. And let's all stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. What a wonderful story this is. Listen carefully as we read the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter number 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Wow, what a question. Here's how Jesus answered. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come, the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And we're going to preach a message entitled "The Importance of Children." The importance of children. Heavenly Father, please meet with us. I pray, Lord, that through the scriptures this morning, there would be a stirring in our heart, Lord, to want to line our life up with the Word of God. I thank you for what we've already seen and heard this morning. I thank you for every single precious child that crossed over this platform, every young teenager, every older teenager, Lord. I thank you, Lord. They're the future. And Lord, it's so important that we do right by them. I thank you, Jesus, that when it comes to preaching about children, we can look to you as the supreme authority and example as far as what children meant to you. And Lord, bless our service. There may be one or more here that's without Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that this would be the day that they'd be saved. Stir all of our hearts and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I don't read a lot of poems, but I found one this week that I so enjoyed because of us taking the time to gift each of the young people in our church this morning with a New Testament. And Brother Poet, I don't know how many New Testaments we had left in there. Can you estimate that? Okay, we had ordered 200. So that means that we gave out 170, if he's pretty close, 170 young people across the platform of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, and one old guy, and received one bitter old guy, and received Jesus said, he said, "Ye have your reward." Amen. And so, bless his heart. Bless his heart. Amen. You pray for him. Brother Eric needs our prayers. He doesn't need to be put down. He needs to be lifted up. Amen. All right. And so, but because of us gifting those young people with those New Testaments, I wanted to read this poem. It says, it was entitled "A Child's First Bible." A child's first gift Bible is the greatest thrill he's known. There's a sweet, unique excitement in a Bible all his own. And yet my heart is smitten as this touching sight I see. Has his reverence for the Bible depended much on me? As I see him with his Bible, I bow my head and pray. May he always love that Bible the way he does today. Then I hear a voice within me speak in solemn words and true. How he cherishes that Bible will depend a lot on you. I love my Bible better since I've seen the beaming joy this wonderful possession has afforded to my boy. May I seek to give mine daily a devotion he can see. For the love he bears his Bible will depend a lot on me. Isn't that something? Wow. What a wonderful gift. I know of no better thing that we can give our young people than to put the Word of God in their hand. But the poet is correct. They'll love that Bible as they see from us that Bible loved. Now, Jesus understood a lot about children, and Jesus loved children. Since you're right there in Matthew chapter 18, I'll have you glance what probably for most of you will be across the page. Matthew chapter number 19, can I just read three quick verses, 13, 14, and 15? Matthew 19, 13, 14, and 15. I love this picture. I love this. I closed my eyes and tried to picture this. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to envision Jesus Christ interacting with little children. Verse 13, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And you know what? Jesus took the time for children. Jesus loved children. Now there was an amazing question that was asked Christ in chapter number 18. And I want to give you five quick truths about children, the importance of children, and the importance of children in the local church. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe about this. Sometimes people ask a question fishing for a compliment. I suspect that's the case because we see other places in the gospel where we see the disciples arguing over who would be considered the greatest disciple. And I think that they were thinking, hey, you know what? Jesus chose us 12, and look at all that we've sacrificed. Look at all that we've left. Look at all that we're doing. And sometimes you ask a question fishing for a compliment. You know that that's true. There's not a husband in here that doesn't know that that's true. Amen. All right. So we'll just leave that alone then. All right. But here we see this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I think that Jesus, maybe James and John was sitting here thinking, you know what? Of all the disciples, when it comes crunch time and he just wants three, we're in that inner circle, you know. So I don't know what was going on here. I don't know if there had been a discussion before that. Maybe they were hoping that all of them, you 12 are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then, but no, that's not what Jesus did. It's an amazing thing that Jesus, here he is in the midst of teaching and in the midst of preaching, and all of a sudden this question is posed, and he looks on the fringe. He looks on the edge of the crowd. He knows there's a little child. And I picture Jesus looking over and catching that child's eye and going like this. And you know what? Children by nature, you know, a lot of them by nature and their personalities won't go to someone that they don't know very well. But I think when that child looked in the eyes of Jesus, he knew that, listen, he probably knew better than anybody there who Jesus was. I don't think there was any hesitation. You know what? We're going to talk about this in a minute. But you know what? Children very easily come to Jesus Christ. Very easily do they come to Jesus Christ. And I think he just went like this, and that little child, you grandparents have seen it when you've held your hands out to one of your grandchildren, see them romp and stomp and wrestle out of their mama's lap and come running over and dive into your arms. What a joy that brings you, amen. And it also brings the mother a lot of joy, amen. And you parents know what that's like. Daddy's come home from work and boy, hey daddy, and they come and get you. Maybe mommy's been, hey mommy, and they grab you by the neck. And I think that this child just jumped into the arms of Jesus, and then Jesus set him down at the midst of them, and that was the answer to his question. Number one, let me give you five great truths. Number one, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, children deserve center stage. Children are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I believe that with all my heart. Children are, now listen, some of you are already disappointed. See, all week long, you've sat around wondering why the spotlight's not on you. You're wondering why people don't plan more things for you. You wonder why people don't applaud you more. Or, you know what? That's our problem. That is our problem. We have a selfish generation. Let me tell you, Jesus said, listen, you 12 disciples, I see what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I acknowledge what you're doing. And you'll be rewarded for what you do. But let me tell you something. What matters, what's most important is those little eyes that are watching you. Those little eyes that are following you. Folks, listen to me. If you've gotten to the point where I've gotten, where the honest truth is, you've probably had already more birthdays than you've got left. then it's coming, and I think it's prime time to stop being so concerned about yourself and realize we're going to pass off this scene in just a few decades or so. We're going to pass off this scene, and there's going to be a generation left here. And you know what? We ought to be focusing our efforts and our training and our teaching and our money and everything around here. Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to put these young people center stage, all right? It doesn't mean that there's not other groups that are important. It doesn't mean that there's people in this church that are not important. I'm just saying we need to focus in, folks, on a generation that needs to be trained and needs to be loved. Now, Brother Jerry, why don't we have more nice things around? Well, we can have a lot of nice things around here. Boy, it'd be nice if we have that parking lot paved. And you know what? I pray there'll be the day we can do that. But you know what? I'm not going to ever take one bus off of a bus route in order to pay for a paved parking lot. I'm not. You say, well, so-and-so down the road, they've got this and they've got that and they've got this. You know, I'll tell you what they don't have. Oil stains all over their driveway. We got that. Hey, we got oil stains all over our driveway. You know, we've got graffiti in our bathrooms. They don't have that. We've got that too, you know. And let me tell you something. Give me the children. Give me the children. I think the death of every church, and I talked to my barber the other day about this, and he said this was true in the place he goes to church. He said, Brother Jerry, we're a dying church. Just be honest, we're a dying church. I don't know what causes dying churches, but I think at some point, some group, some generation thinks that their generation is the only important generation, and they fail to reach down and try to reach the next generation. Now, why is we have 280 and 90 and 300 plus children crammed in here on Vacation Bible School? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said the children are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why do we spend so much money on these buses and in the insurance and paying $3 a gallon for gasoline? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the children. Why do we run a five-day ministry where we have a Christian school here? Because children are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why do we have Sunday school rooms and we need to build another building so we can occupy more space for Sunday school? And why should the Sunday school ministry never stop growing? I'll tell you why, because Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the children. Let's reach the children, folks. Let's reach the children. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they ought to be front and center. They ought to be center stage. We ought to keep our focus on the next generation, folks. We ought to keep focus on the fact that we're not always going to be here. The future Sunday school teachers are going to be the children. Future pastor of this church, one of these days, is a child somewhere. Future deacons or children in this church or somewhere else. And we need to realize it's our responsibility to hand the baton to the next generation. We can't drop it. Or we can't decide we're going to die with clutching on to it. We got to hand something to the next generation. Grandmas and grandpas, you're so important. You're so important. Your generation knows some things that those grandchildren need to know. You know America that those grandchildren need to know. You know a God that those grandchildren need to know. You have a faith that those grandchildren need to tap into. Let me tell you something, they're important and they're worth every single minute that you can spend with them, every little thing you can teach them. It's important, it's important, it's important that we give our best to the next generation. Number one, Jesus set that child center stage. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think that the children's ministries always have to be center stage. And again, I'm not saying that that other people aren't important. I'm just saying, folks, we need to get off a selfish kick. What's important is what's coming up behind us because they are the future. Amen. Number two, I'm talking about the importance of Jesus, importance of children in the local church and what Jesus taught us about that. Number two, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I believe that children should be and must be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. They should and must be reached. Now let me pick up in verse number three. It says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now you see, folks, children have a capacity for childlike faith and childlike humility that makes them prime prospects to be won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and now I want to read some things to you because I think it's important. It says here, let me just read a few quotes here. R.A. Torrey, many of you know who he is. He wrote this: it is almost the easiest thing in the world to lead a child from 5 to 10 years of age to a definite acceptance of Christ. Spurgeon said this, a child of five, if properly instructed, can truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. He said, Brother John, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, what I just read said this. See, we think children have to become adult-like in order to be saved. And Jesus said adults have to become childlike in order to be saved. Now notice what he said there. A child of five, if properly instructed. If properly instructed. And we're spending and have spent several weeks in our adult Sunday school class trying to train our adults and better equip us. We must make sure that they are properly equipped and properly instructed in the ways of Christ and understanding what they need to understand in order to be born again. You see, I like this. It says, Spurgeon also wrote this. I have during the past year received 40 or 50 children into church membership. Among those I have had at any time to exclude from church fellowship out of the church of 2,700 members, I have never had to exclude a single one who was received while yet a child. Teachers and superintendents should not merely believe in the possibility of early conversion, but in the frequency of it. Well, I like that. I think that's good. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is this. There's a childlike faith, a childlike humility. Yes, we must take the time to teach them. Yes, remember what we taught in Sunday school. They have to understand that they're sinners. They have to understand what sin is. They need to have a godly sorrow over that sin. They need to be taught who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God and God the Son, the Savior of the universe. They need to understand the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. They need to feel the drawing power of God upon their life. And then you know what? They don't usually, after they understand those things and have those things, have any problem putting simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. I preached a message in a junior camp here last year entitled, Listen for Your Name. Listen for Your Name. And it was opening night of camp. You kind of take the first night of camp when you're going to be there all week long, and you kind of set the plate for the Monday on the Monday night. So I preached a very simple message from Samuel. Remember when God called Samuel, Samuel, and he called him by name? By the way, Samuel at that time was a child. And he heard the voice of God. He heard the call of God. And he responded to the call of God. And all I really preached that week was, listen for your name. Somewhere along the course of this week, young people, I know that you're going to have a great time swimming. And you're going to have a great time playing sports. You're going to have a great time over at the concession stand. You're going to have a great time in the game room. You're going to have a great time staying in the dorms at night. And, oh, it's like a big camping trip. But sometime along this week, sometime during this week, you're going to hear your name. If you listen, God's going to speak your name. Maybe it'll be because of salvation. And we covered several other things. But what was so sweet is that during one of the services later on in the week, I was up there preaching. And I hadn't preached. I preached several salvation messages. And now it's towards the end of the week. And I was preaching more to the Christian young people. And it was about Thursday night. I can't remember. And we were conducting an invitation. People were dealing with the young people that were coming. And I was up there trying to finish out the invitation. I kept feeling somebody pulling on my coattail. And I looked down. There's a little boy about this tall, and he's going like this. He's got tears running out of his eyes. And I leaned down and I said, what do you need, son? And he said, Brother Jerry. I said, yes. He said, I heard my name. I heard my name. I heard my name. I said, what did God say to you? He said, I need to be saved. You know what that's called? The drawing power of God. How many times have we got to sit here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and watch God call some child by name? Not just to be saved, sometimes for full-time Christian service. Sometimes to burden their heart about an area of their life that they need to get right. Thank God. Boy, listen, I'm not sure we need to work as hard about getting children to be like us as we need to get ourselves to be like children. We get all adults and we get all hard sometimes and we are resistant and God speaks to our heart. Man, when we were a kid, we'd have been up there lickety-split. But now all of a sudden, because we're adults, you know, we're more worried about this direction than this direction. We sit there and God's hollering our name sometimes, calling our name. But we're so caught up in life, caught up in ourselves. We've already made those trips before. We don't need to make them anymore. Thank goodness that they're tender-hearted. Amen. Now, number three, let me give you a third thing. Number one, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, children are the greatest in the kingdom of God. Number two, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, children must be reached for Jesus Christ. Number three, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, children will be received as we would receive Christ himself. Boy, I love this. Look, if you will, in verse number 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receive a who? Man, that's exciting. Guess what? I got to shake the hand of over 170 Jesuses today. Woo! That's a blessing. That's a blessing, you see. I'll never forget this story, and I know I've probably told this story. Maybe I've overused it, but I'm going to tell you something. God done something in my heart. I was pastoring a church in Brazil, Indiana. Me and my wife was ministering up there, had a little storefront church. I love this story, and I hate this story. We reached a teenage girl for Jesus Christ. She got saved in our church. She got burdened about a young lady that lived next to her, and she brought her to church. She had a hard time getting her to come the first time. She kept saying things like, they won't want me there, or I don't think they'll want me there. And she was telling my wife about this girl that lived next door, and she was convinced that maybe we wouldn't want her to come to church. And so my wife came and picked up this teenage girl on a Sunday morning. And this teenage girl said, hey, my little friend, I told her to be ready. But she said she won't come get in the car unless you come talk to her. So my wife came over and assured her, we want you to come. Assured the parents, we want her to come. So she came very timidly out and slipped into the back seat of the car and just kind of crowded over in the corner. My wife drove all the way there. Her and the teenage girls yakking. This girl sitting in the back. We got to the road where our church was. Turned on Walnut Street there on North Walnut in Brazil, Indiana, and parked the car down the way towards the library and started to get out. And boy, she was insistent she wasn't going to get out of the car. She was not going to get out of the car. She was not going to go into the church. And finally she told my wife, you go ask the preacher and make sure it's all right. You ask the preacher and make sure it's all right. And so my wife come in our church and she said, there's a little girl out here and she says that she won't get out of the car till you come and talk to her, that she needs to know that it's okay for her to come to church. So I went all the way out there, walked down by in front of the library, to the car, rolled down the window. I said, honey, I want you to come. You'll be welcome here. We want you here at the church. And got her out of the car and we started walking the opposite direction that she thought we were going to go. You see, our church was in a little storefront down here at the end of the block, and there was another big giant church on the other side of the library up ahead. And she got about halfway down and she kept looking both directions. I didn't understand what was going on. She enjoyed the service and was blessed by the service and got saved during the service. And then on the way home, my wife was trying to talk to her about why she was so worried and scared about coming. Now watch this. Watch this, folks. She said, I didn't know where your church was. When you turned on that street, I saw that big church. I thought we were going there. When she said, well, why wouldn't you want to go there? She said, well, that church there, I went there one time with a friend, and I didn't have a clothes as nice as the other kids had. And I wasn't dressed very nice, and I wasn't like the other kids there. And they let me come, but at the end of the service, their assistant preacher, their assistant pastor came and said, you know what, we're glad you came today, but you know what, you might want to find somewhere else to go to church from now on. That's what this little girl told me. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It started out on the tip of my toes and went all the way through me. I thought to myself, good night. Good night. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to me. Listen to me. If the mayor of Jasonville walks in that back door and a little 6-year-old snotty kid with bare feet and holes in his britches, we're not going to treat one any better than the other one. Not one any better than the other one. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we should receive these children as we would receive the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's what he said there in verse number 5. Isn't that good? Let me give you this other thought. And I'm gonna rush through this. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to just sit here and park and romp and stomp a little bit. But we live in a sick-tainted world. But at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we believe children are to be protected. We believe they're to be protected. The most precious gift that God can give a family is children. The most precious gift that God can give a community is their children. I don't understand what kind of sickness has invaded the society that we live in. But I'm sick and tired of reading the paper. I mean, you know what, folks? They're preying on our children. They're preying on our children. Children ought to be safe in America. They ought to be safe in America. I believe this with all my heart. You can disagree with me, but I believe it ought to be a death penalty offense to hurt or molest a little child. What in the world's wrong with this country? What in the world's wrong with people's minds? Let me tell you something. You keep chasing that. People want to act like there's nothing wrong with this pornography and perversion and all this nonsense that's going out there. Let me tell you, that's what's at the end of the road of that stuff right there. Somebody involved in that stuff to the point where they can't even look at a little child without having impure thoughts. God help us. Men praying on little boys. I don't get that. I can't even comprehend that. I don't ever want to be able to comprehend that. But I'm going to tell you, I think it's time to go down to the square, go down on Main Street, have an old-fashioned hanging. Amen. Brother Jerry, you're just too hard. You're just too tough. Oh, well, let me show you how Jesus feels about it, okay? See if he's too hard. Verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I think maybe it's time in America for a little old-fashioned millstone justice. Amen. What is wrong? Folks, they're coming right into the homes. Right into the homes of our families and taking children right out of the safety of their own bedrooms. That's how blatant they're getting. Tell me we're not at Sodom and Gomorrah when they're beating on the door wanting the children. Wanting the children. We live in a sick society. Let me tell you, if you have a problem in this area, you need to get some help. I mean this with all my heart. You need to get some help. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we are going to protect our children here. I mean this. We're going to protect our children here. We're going to watch our children. We're going to walk guard around our children at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Boy, we need a society that would get back to just loving kids. Caring for kids. My goodness sake. Well, Brother Jerry, I can't help my problem. Well, cut your hand off. Amen. Cut your foot off. Pluck your eye out. Well, that's drastic. That's what God says. That child's more important than your perverted, messed up mind and messed up desires. Amen, Brother Jerry. Amen. Amen. We need some legislation passed that's going to protect our children. I'm so sick and tired of these consistent, and they know they're going to repeat. A large percentage of them repeat. And they get a little slap on the hand in probation, slap on the hand in probation. Every time they send them back out on the street, give them 3 months and then send them back out. Give them 6 months, send them back out. Every time you send them out, you're dooming another little child. So I'm saying, you know what, folks, let's gas them, let's electrocute them, let's hang. I don't care how you want to do it. I like the millstone idea. We got a lake out here, Shackamack. Once a month, we gather these people up that's in Greene County that's like that. We get them in a boat. Got these millstones. You ever been to one of these old mills around here? A millstone about that size? You know, we could start a company. I'd be glad to maybe sponsor it, finance it myself. I'll make the millstones, sell the millstones, you know. You know, maybe make a little cash on the side, drowning these guys. That'd be all right with me. Amen. Get them out there on a flat raft, tie a millstone around their head. Whoop, you know, like that. Bye. Brother Jerry, I can't believe how cruel you are. Well, you know what? You wouldn't have thought much of Jesus Christ either. I'm a little tired of Jesus Christ being pictured as a weakling. Being pictured as someone, you know, well, if you ever say anything or preach against anything or you're too hard, well, I thought we were all supposed to be like Jesus. You know what Jesus is for? Millstone justice. Millstone justice. What in the world is wrong with us? You know, when I was a little kid, mom and dad could say to us in the morning, see you later, and we could for hours and hours jump on our bikes and drive all over the neighborhood and run back and forth and run around, never thought a thing about this type of stuff. Now mamas are scared to let the children out of the sight. I mean, they're scared to let them play in their own front yard. Help us, Lord. Help us. We are in one messed up society, folks. Mamas, guard your children. Daddies, guard your children. Guard and protect them. You know what? Don't listen. I hate to say this. I'm not trying to be overly cruel, but I'm getting to the point where I'm not sure nowadays it's good to let your child spend the night anywhere. And I'm not trying to be unreasonable, but I'm just telling you, you know what? More times than not, people that this happened to sit there and say, of all the people I thought would never. I'm just saying, folks, I'm sorry to have to live like this. I'm sorry that we have to live like this. But I'm going to tell you something. It just breaks my heart. Listen, we need to protect our children. We need to protect. And let me give you the last one. Let's jump down to verse number 10. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I believe our children should be valued. Should be valued. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. That word despise doesn't mean to hate them. You know, Esau despised his birthright. He had something precious and he didn't think it was worth much, so he traded it for a little bowl of porridge. And I think our problem in our society is we don't value our children. We don't value our children like we ought to. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I believe children here should be valued. The greatest gift that a child can get is some loving adult or teenager to share with them how to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. That's the best gift you can ever give a child. Parents, mamas, daddies, listen to me. And just listen to me from a parent's heart for a minute, okay? From a parent's heart. The greatest thing you can do for your children is get them faithfully in a church that preaches the gospel to them. I mean that. You need to get them faithfully in a church that preaches the gospel to them. You need to bring them. You need to sit with them. They got me in church. They gave me a chance to hear the scriptures from a child. You know what? I don't think we went to church much, if any, before I was 5, but I have no recollection of that. I cannot remember a time when I wasn't in church. Brother Jerry, how do you fix all this mess we've got out here? If we could have a revival amongst parents, setting an alarm clock on Sunday morning, daddy picking his Bible up, mama getting dressed, getting the children up. Where are we going? We're going to church. Marching them out to the car, putting them in the car, driving to the house of God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, getting them under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Get them involved in the children's ministries around here. Let them go to the junior churches and the primary churches, the children's churches and the nursery, where from the very youngest of age, they're going to hear about Jesus. Value your children. Value them. Value them enough to get them to Christ. Value them enough to get them to church. Value them enough to see that they're raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Value your children. Value them. Value them enough to say, N-O. Stop being a marshmallow. Stop being a pushover. Stop being more worried about being their buddy than being their mommy, or being their buddy than being their daddy. Guess what? Sometimes you have to be the bad guy. Sometimes you just have to say, son, daughter, whether or not you understand it or not, that is not good for you. And the answer is no. No, and then don't be talked out of it. Amen. Amen. Value your children. Why? Because they're worth it. They're important. They're worth it. They're worth it. Got to talking to, Brian on visitation yesterday. He said, how old's your daughter? So I told him. And he said, how they doing? And I said, they're not perfect because they don't have perfect parents. But I said, Brian, the greatest decision here, him and Dawn sitting back there. And by the way, they're going to be married soon. And we're going to announce details about that. They came to me after they got saved, and they said, Brother Jerry, the next thing we need to take care of, get saved, baptized, and we need to get married so that we're doing the right thing by God. I think it's important. But I'm proud of them. I'm proud of both of you. I mean it with all my heart. I'm proud of you. And we're going to get that set up and get it done, amen. But I was telling him, he's talking about Braden. Oh, I wanted to say Brandon. I knew it run Braden. Little Braden. And he was telling me all about him, telling me how much he loved him, how much he meant to him. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, we didn't do everything right and still don't do everything right, but you know what? Me and Cheryl decided that our children was going to be raised with God's people in God's way. Amen. I told them, I said, my girls don't know what it is to walk into a public school. My girls, I'm not going to put them on a bus, let them listen to Jesus cursed all the way there and back on the bus. I'm not going to do it. And they never sat in front of a teacher and been told that millions and millions of years ago, they crawled out of the slime and that's their ancestry. They've never experienced that. Say, where's their second family here? Where's their social life here? Where's their activities here? Where's the focus here? We decided we're not going to treat church as some place we visit once or twice a week. It's going to be the hub. It's going to be the center. God's going to be the center. The local church is going to be the center. Listen, you know why? Because I value them, because my wife values them. I think we just need to say, you know what, devil, you're not going to get the kids at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're just not going to get them. I mean, Sunday school teachers, let's get on board with this thing. Let's help the parents out. They're not going to get our kids. The devil's not going to get our kids. Christian school teachers and helpers, let's just get on board with this. Let's stand arm to arm. Let's build a hedge around this place saying, sorry, devil, you can't have our children. Can't have our children. Master's Club workers, children's church workers, everybody that's involved in any aspect, grandparents, parents, let's just stand shoulder to shoulder and say, let's turn out a generation that loves God and wants to serve God, where God is the most important thing in their life. You know why? Because children are valuable. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Nobody moving around? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Be very quiet, very still for just a minute. You may be here and we talked about children, how easy it is for them to be saved. But you know what? You may be an adult here. You may be a child here. You may be a teenager here, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. The greatest thing that you can do is to get saved. Mama, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to get saved if you're not saved. Daddy, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to get saved if you're not saved. Listen, young person, if you're not saved, you don't know for sure what would happen if you were to die. You don't know about eternity. You just don't know. The greatest thing you could do this morning is in a minute when we're singing a song of invitation, if you'd just make your way to the nearest aisle, come up to the front here and say, I want to be saved. I heard my name this morning. I want to be saved. I heard my name. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. And Lord, we need grandparents praying for their children, and we need parents praying for their children. God, we're going to do the best we can around here. It won't be perfect, but we're going to do the best we can. We're going to get up early and stay up late and pay the price, Lord. But none of this is going to work except you reach down and bless it and touch hearts. And Lord, please protect our children from Satan, this worldly influence that wants to drag them away. Protect them physically from harm. Protect them, Lord, in a perverted, mixed up, upside down world. God, I pray that you'd help this to be a haven, a safe place, a safeguard place where children can come and be taught the Word of God and be loved and cared about and exhorted in the ways of the Lord. That Lord, for many, many years ahead, children will look back at this place and say, that's the place I got saved. That's the place I first learned about Jesus. Help us to keep the old ship here right and head in the right direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.